is Ronnie. Okay, we will reconvene, and in doing so, it's probably obvious that we do not have a quorum this afternoon. We won't have a quorum this afternoon. We don't have any action items, so all of this is informational. And we will share all of the information that we receive with the rest of the board so that they'll understand the conversations that have occurred here today. So I just wanted to make that clear. And we'll go now back to item four, which was the first part of Ron's presentation that he didn't give yet. So we'll this is on the 2018 fire season readiness and forecast. So welcome back.
Thank you. Welcome again. And hopefully this isn't a case of I gave you the good news first, right? But we'll see. So I'm here to talk about the fire season outlook and our preparedness efforts going into the 2018 fire season. And we're locking up again, which will give me time to set up this slide for you. So think back to a year ago. And a year ago this time, we were talking about snow water equivalents after a near record moisture winter, great snowpack. We were already seeing some really good June rains. And the next map slide that I will show you looked a lot different last year. In terms of the colors on the map, there was a lot of blues on the map, both light blue and dark blue, none of the real dark purple. But this year, now as you can see, the map looks very different. All the red on the map indicates diminishing less than 50% of the snow water equivalent, and that's less than 50% of normal. And you can see that covers much of the area across the state. This does indicate, one, of course, that we had less moisture, and two, as I'll speak to a little bit later, the snowpack has come off relatively quickly, what little snowpack there was. So those two things will lead into several of the other factors as we go through this.
I just noticed the little, can you open the little note up on the upper left? We anticipate this map will not be available next year due to staffing constraints. What's happening there?
That's a good one. I did not notice that. And as you can see, we get this through a different source.
Oh.
So they have talked about no longer supporting this data collection. And
who is the they?
USDA.
Yes, USDA. Yeah. And so this is really important data, not only for us, but the Water Resources Department. And the Water Resources Department brought it to the National Resource Cabinet. And there is a letter urging the continuation of this data set signed by the directors of all the natural resource agencies in Oregon directed to the USDA. And that letter has been sent, but I think it's due to budgetary constraints, but we're hoping that they will continue this data set. And
we might want to think about some congressional delegation contact.
Can you get us a copy of the letter that was sent?
Yeah, I will. I'll make a note.
Sorry. Thanks for picking that up, though. I appreciate that. And I learned something that's important. All right. So, you know, the picture here, again, looks much different than last year. And last year at this time, we were feeling pretty good about things. And, you know, I'll speak to that again later as well. Moving on to the drought monitor, this will be updated here about mid-month. However, in talking to Nick Yonker in our smoke management, meteorology, fuels management shop, we don't anticipate a lot of significant change other than that persistent drought is going to continue to build. And that is, again, a much different picture than you saw last year at this time. Essentially, the whole state was in the white or no drought conditions at this time last year. So that is of significant concern to us when we see drought building back in, reflection of that snow water equivalent being down with snowpack, rainfall, etc. It gets worse.
Thanks.
Moving into the temperature probability for the summer months. Now, I do want to clarify, back when I was quite a bit younger and greener in this business, I always thought that meant it's going to be really hot because it's dark red, it's orange. That's just greater probability that there's a chance that temperatures will be hotter than average, above average. So the darker the color, the greater the chance of that happening. But it doesn't necessarily speak to the degree of which is it going to be 10 degrees warmer on average, none of that stuff. So again, there's just a stronger possibility that our temperatures, on the most part, for the next 3 months, including this month, will be above average. And consequently, precipitation, the same holds true there. The darker the color on the gradient, the greater the chance of there being less than average precipitation for that same 3 month, June, July, August period. So we've seen drought moving in. We've seen that we didn't have great snowpack. And we've now seen that potentially temperatures will be warmer and precipitation will be lower. We just came through one of the driest Mays overall on record in the last, it's like second or third driest May for most of the state, with the exception of a few areas that did get some thunderstorms and some rain. And going into June so far with pretty limited precipitation is something we'll watch closely. Once again, last year, as we talked to you at this time, this outlook for June, July, August on the potential for significant fires was much different. This year, you'll note that June is really about average, largely due to the fact that, you know, June is really the early start, but not the big peak of our season. Although, as you've heard State Forester Daugherty mention today, we're already running more fires this year than our 10-year average. Now, we burned far less acres, so that's a good sign. But having that increased amount of fire starts, we have districts, even in Northwest Oregon, bringing seasonals on earlier to meet that demand. And we're seeing 40-acre fires in Northwest Oregon end of May, beginning of June, again, which brings us a lot of concern. And you can see it really gets significantly worse as we progress through July and August. And probably of greater concern to me is the fact that when you look at the distribution of where that significant fire potential is, it's all around our geographic area, and that's going to be, if we do have a lot of ignitions and a lot of fires exceed initial attack and become large fires on the landscape, that equates to me to a lot of competition for resources. And that would be a concern we'd have, with closest resources obviously being from further away. So, as Nick would summarize this, we had below normal snowpack, yes, last year that was a no. Early snowmelt, yes, last year that was a no. Long-term drought, yes, and likely to increase throughout the next couple of months, last year no. Same with rainfall, likely to be below normal. Dry for July and August, likely. They're really hesitant to predict too many dry lightning episodes, but we got a possible out of that shop, which is pretty good, which all equate to a possible to likely early start to fire season. And as State Forester Daugherty mentioned as well, we have several districts in fire season, and they're running fires and have been for quite some time. Overall, we're looking at probably, you know, slightly above average fire season. And if the conditions don't improve, you know, and we do get dry lightning episodes, we probably could see, you know, considerable above average fire activity. Again, I think it's really dependent on where the lightning is or isn't. That's what we saw in 2016, as you recall. We weren't under the same conditions, but we had very little lightning as well. So what are we doing in response to this, and what have we learned? When we think of lessons learned from 2017, you know, one of the things before I get into lessons learned from after action reviews is you heard a lot about smoke. And when I hear the public talking about wildland fires and I hear the lessons learned and what resonates with them, I don't hear that, wow, we had a lot of fires, you know, above average, and wow, we burned a lot of trees. I hear there was a lot of smoke and the smoke impacts. So that's something, you know, that through past fire seasons, we've initiated the wildfire smoke protocols, and we'll continue to do that. I think that's great. And we've heard the concerns on the prescribed fire smoke issues as well, so we'll continue to learn our lessons from that and improve policies. When I think about lessons learned on a larger scale, though, and look at what we've done with our partners, the U.S. Forest Service, BLM, other state agencies, landowner partners. We've held a lot of after action reviews throughout the course of the fall and early winter, even into spring. We've increased meetings with agency administrators, agency leadership, line officers from the federal agencies, expanding on the success in Eastern Oregon, where they've had 22 years of successful agency administrator meetings preseason, and set a great example. We've now modeled that into Southern Oregon area, trying to build those relationships with those federal partners after we've learned from Eastern Oregon area. We have a lot of preseason meetings still to come with both the regional offices of the Forest Service in Region 6 here and Region 5 down in California. And State Forester Daugherty and Chief Graff met initially with other state agency partners for a pre-season pre-briefing with the governor's office. They will actually have their briefing with the governor's office on June 11th, followed with a similar legislative briefing for those legislators that can make it a week after that. So we'll continue that. So we've got training going on. We've got our seasonal hiring going on. Again, we've had to bring folks on early for that. And again, that's problematic, getting folks on early. Typically, we get them on, we get a couple weeks of training, and then they're busy fighting fire through the season. Now we're bringing them on right to firefighting. So that's, you know, something we don't like to do. And then our severity program, as far as readiness, and I'll focus on this quite a bit in the next slide. We continue right now to solidify all of the contracts with those aviation resources as we go into the fire season. We learned something somewhat significant yesterday at the Emergency Fire Cost Committee meeting. We had a couple of our aviation contracts that we weren't able to continue for this year and had to seek alternate contracts. And the issue we learned about was a pilot pay issue that is, pilots are being sought heavily right now and the pay is increasing on the commercial side. So we're losing agency pilots and some of the pilots that have supported Forest Service and other, you know, land management agency fire programs to this commercial calling, and then some to retirement. So there's a bit of a pilot shortage as we speak, and that's what we're seeing in some of our contract issues right now. We'll resolve those, of course. And then also we finalized our unmanned aerial vehicles policy, which then allows us to effectively look for call when needed contracts to utilize drones under other unmanned aircraft systems to help us with mapping, recon, detection, you name it. Shift to the severity resources real quickly. And this is very standard to what you've seen in the past. However, I would highlight that the little green box over here, we've added as new. A lot of that work reflects the capacity that we gained this past season through the biennial budget with the addition of an aviation coordinator position. That position has greatly increased our ability to get these additional call when needed contracts for all these aircraft completed so that we have those resources available for use. Now that doesn't mean they're standing by ready for our use, but we have a much broader pool of resources to draw from should we need them. That's significant work. You know, all of this it takes is our complete and coordinated system, as you've heard me reference to other state agencies, federal agencies, landowner partners, all Oregonians. One thing to add, just as you see on the Oregon National Guard here at the bottom, a significant event this year also is the fact that through federal funding, the Oregon Military Department will have funding that will allow us to work with them to train guardsmen and women preseason before the need this year. And that's a departure from the last couple of seasons where when we've mobilized and called on National Guard resources, we've had to train them at incidents or just in time, which sometimes is a couple of days critical delay. This funding through the federal government will allow us to work cooperatively with other agencies to train approximately 325 guardsmen and women ahead of season, have those for the ready, and then if additional folks are needed for hand crews, we would go to the just-in-time model after that. But that's a pretty significant change for this season. And with that, any questions?
Questions, comments?
Great. Thank you so much.